All right, let's turn to a couple of places in the Bible this morning. Let's turn to Book of Haggai, chapter 2. Have that, and with one finger, we'll begin there, and then also Isaiah 55. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers there. Some churches do roses for the mothers and that, and in lieu of that, we have Cabela gift cards. No, just kidding. that would be nice. So no, we don't have that, but happy Father's Day, and it's not a Father's Day message per se, but hopefully you can apply it as a father. But let's begin reading here in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 6. Verse 5, actually. And now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Keep your finger there. I'll be going back to it for quite a bit. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 8. Let's go back to verse 7. Let's go back to verse 6. That's good. It's all good. It's all good. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and thank you for your book and the depth of it, that we can learn how to live our lives. Lord, pray this morning that you'd help me to say precisely what you'd have, nothing more, nothing less. We pray that your Holy Spirit would go forth and touch our hearts and help us be encouraged or reproved or exhorted, whatever it is. You know every heart in here. You know what we're going to be going through in the weeks and months ahead. And Lord, I pray that this would be some food for the soul here this morning. And most of all, that you get the glory in all that goes on here in the next hour or so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That hour or so is not a promise, but might be less. All right, so a couple of, one familiar passage, one maybe not quite as familiar here. And you read Haggai 1:6 there, and we just read it. You sow much and bring a little, you have not enough. And he goes on and says, twice the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. And you look at that, and what he's exemplifying there is something that's frustrating. He says, you sow, and you bring in little. You eat, but you never have enough. You don't have enough. You drink, and you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, and there's none warm. He that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. And that, a lot of times, sometimes it's a little picture. Not trying to be pessimistic here, but it is a little bit of a picture of sometimes a Christian life, where you try, and you try, and you try, and then something, you seem to fail. And sometimes the Christian life is like that. Sometimes it can be frustrating. Sometimes it seems like you're just, spinning the wheels and nothing's happening. And the Lord says twice, the beginning and at the end, he says, consider your ways. I think that's one thing we need to do as Christians as we go through our life here. Very often we need to stop and consider our ways. And you know what the world wants you not to do? You know what the devil wants you not to do? You know what your own flesh doesn't want you to do? Just keep on going down the track. Don't consider your ways. Don't worry about that, right? And that's completely contrary to the Scriptures, completely contrary. The Lord wants us to consider our ways. In Proverbs 4:26, it says, ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. You need to think about the path of thy feet, the path ahead of you, and the path behind you. You need to reflect on the last year, the last few months, and say, where was I 2 years ago? Where was I a year ago? Am I closer to the Lord now than I was then? And if I continue down this path, where am I going to end up? And you need to think about that. I was telling Peter last week, where a long time ago, back before I think Brian was born, I went way up in northern Manitoba fishing on this lake, 1,100 miles up, get in our boat and go 35 miles up this river and this lake, and it had literally hundreds of miles of shoreline, literally hundreds of islands. And we had a very good map. It was just huge. And two of us had a look at that map. And I don't know if you've ever been on a lake that's, there's no hills, just flat. There's no cabins, there's no resorts, just islands. And you can't tell when you're out in a boat and an island from a shore. And so we had to continually look at that map and watch and see exactly where we were on that lake, or we would be lost. Probably still be there. But and we had it. We had an, okay, here's a point there. And then it was so far north, we had to take into consideration magnetic north versus true north. It was way up there. And so we had to always make sure where we were on that map. That's just a goofy fishing trip. What about your Christian walk? If it takes three people to navigate across this lake, you know, because we want to make sure we get back. And, well, first we were thinking about fishing, but then coming back. But, you know, what about the Christian life? This is our guidebook. This is what it is. This is where it's at. We need to consider our ways. And the Bible says in Isaiah, it says, our ways are not God's ways. So how do you differentiate them? How do you tell what to do? And again, you, the world, your own flesh, the devil does not want you to think about these things. Turn over to Psalm chapter 37. Keep your finger in Haggai there. Psalm chapter 37. See, that rustling of pages is really nice. I like the sound of that. You don't get that with an iPad, right? I mean the sound of the rustling of pages, that's great. Music to my ears. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I preached this quite a while ago. But delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. See, what people want to do is they have desires. They have desires in their heart, and some are good, some are not so good, some are neutral, whatever the case is. But they have their desires, and they expect God to fulfill those desires on their timetable, not God's timetable. And the first part of the verse there is a prerequisite to that. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. You and I delight ourselves also in the Lord. You and I delight ourselves in the Lord. Then he gives you the desires of thine heart. And it's not that you have these desires for all this junk over here and you delight yourself in the Lord, so then he'll give you all that junk. That's not the case. You start delighting yourself in the Lord and considering your paths, and all of a sudden your ways are starting to move over here to God's ways. God's ways are not coming your way, and they're not coming my way. Your ways and my ways have to be brought over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden they start coming closer and closer and say, oh, there you go. Here's something for you. And so what, you know, consider your ways. Let's go back to Haggai. Haggai says, you have sown much and bring in little. Okay, let's just stop there for just a second. So what are you sowing? You know, a farmer, what does a farmer sow? Obviously seeds, right? And now we're past planting time here by a month or so. But the seeds are a very precious thing. And so a farmer just doesn't indiscriminately go out with his pickup truck and I hire a young guy down the street and just takes shovels and just start throwing them over the back of the pickup as he's driving across a cornfield. It's done in a very meticulous way. It's because the seeds are very precious. And if you turn over to Galatians 6:7 for a second, well, we'll go ahead and turn there. We'll get to it in a second. We'll go right now. But the seeds are very precious. And the Bible says there in Haggai, it says, you have sown much, you bring in little. And that sometimes is obviously it's frustrating in life. It's frustrating in the Christian life. I'm trying, and nothing seems to happen. Why is that? Well, there's a couple reasons why. There could be a couple reasons why. And one of them is that for he that soweth to his flesh, Galatians 6:8, for he that soweth his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, For he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's a couple of options here. If you're sowing and sowing, and remember, you only have so much to sow. What are some things you sow? Your affections, your desires, your time, energy, your money. Those are tangible and intangible things, spiritual things, physical things that you have to sow, do something for God. You either do something for yourself or you do something for God. And so you're sowing and nothing seems to happen. Nothing. I can't get ahead. I can't. Why is it? Well, one thing is, you don't know this. I'm sure if you have a garden, some crops take longer to come up. You plant an asparagus seed, I believe it's 3 years before it bears fruit. You know, if I like apples, I don't go out and get an apple from the apple I bought at Cub Foods and then put it out there in my yard and just next day go out and, it's weird. I wanted apple juice this morning, you know. It takes time. It takes time. And we are a very impatient people. And the things of God take time. So maybe the one thing and one reason to consider your ways, and you think, why, this isn't happening in my life, and this isn't happening in my life, and why isn't this come to pass yet? If you're trying, and if you considered your ways, and you're trying to be in the will of God, and trying to be in this book, and trying to be in church all the time, and it's not happening, you need patience. It takes time. It takes time. That's one reason. That's the good reason. The other reason is, maybe you're sowing to the wrong thing. Bible says here, it says, he that soweth of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth the Spirit shall the Spirit reap right life. The teens will testify. I had a hard time in Sunday school today. They that will reap life everlasting. So are you sowing to the flesh? Or are you sowing to the Spirit? Which one is it? And if you, which one do you want to grow? You want to grow your flesh and just satisfy the lust thereof? Or do you want to live after the Spirit? So sometimes it's a matter of, what are you feeding? I mean, you take a farmer. I don't know how you got these farm illustrations. But take a farmer who wants to have a pig, some ham, for Easter. He tells his son, he says, hey, you want to go out and fatten that hog up, fatten the hog up. And, a few weeks before Easter comes around, he wants to butcher the hog and smoke it and all this stuff. He goes out and says, it's a scrawny little runt there. And he says, I thought you wanted me to feed the chickens. No, the pig. Feed the pig. I mean, what are you feeding? Whatever you want to grow in your life, that's what you feed. If you want to abound in the flesh, then feed the flesh. If you want to abound in the Spirit, then feed the Spirit. Turn back a few pages to Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Romans 13, 14. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, it's amazing what punctuation does. You look at that verse and says, if you were to stop it and make not provision for the flesh, and you just stop it right there, it kind of doesn't make sense. You need to eat. You need to drink something. You know, you need to provide a shelter for yourself, all those sorts of things. So you need to make some type of provision for the flesh. But look at the second part, to fulfill the lust thereof. Yeah, you need to provide for the flesh, but not to fulfill the lust thereof. And that's where the dividing line comes in. And there's all sorts of things, maybe we'll mention some of them here, but you have to discern that. The only way you can discern that is to consider your ways. Consider your ways and how are they lining up with God. Are you fulfilling, are you just making provision for the flesh? Or are you fulfilling the lust thereof? It's a question to ask yourself, and only you can ask that. Let's go back to Haggai chapter 1. It says, you have sown much and bring a little. And so who are you sowing it to? You don't have to turn there because I already had you turn once there. I'll buzz over to Romans here. I still have my finger back there. Romans chapter 8. Back to the sowing. Romans chapter 8. Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What do people chase after? Lost and saved people alike. What do they want? They want peace. They want to live a peaceable life. And it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's not that sometimes they please Him. No, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So it comes back to the same question. Who are you feeding in life? What is your desire to feed? Which one are you going to feed, the spirit or the flesh? And kind of ties into the next part of the verse there. He says, you eat, but you have not enough. Let's see here. And like I said, you need to make some provision for the flesh. But where does it end? How do you know where just providing some essentials versus feeding the lust of the flesh? How do you know the difference? Romans 13:14 is make not provision for the flesh. Part of your life in general, you can never. I'm going to ask you a question. Is part of your life or life in general where it just never seemed to get enough? Or even maybe one little small part of your life, there's a dissatisfaction. Why is that? Does it deal with the spirit or does it deal with the flesh? If it deals with the flesh, then you need to put that aside. Paul says, I die daily. We need to crucify that flesh. You need to put that flesh down and feed the spirit. I know one of my own life, when I really try and try to put down the flesh and live after the spirit, guess what? The things of flesh don't bother me as much. But if all you're consumed with is me, all those sorts of things, then you're going to have problems in the flesh. And I brought this up to a couple of people recently, but it's kind of interesting when you think about way back in Y2K and that sort of thing. Is that when people were making, we're going to get some rice and beans and all this stuff, and the computers are going to go down, it's going to be back to the Stone Age and all that. I never heard anybody that I can remember say anything about, I wonder how we can reach people if that happens for Jesus Christ. Hey guys, do we have enough tracks available so that if we do get down, the grid goes down, where we have enough tracks to get out to people? Because I imagine they'd be fairly receptive, I'm thinking. I never heard that. Why? Because it is in us, in our nature, in our sinful nature, to be more concerned with making provisions for this flesh than for the spirit. And so, but the more we can get away from that, then the more joy the Lord will give us. But make not provision for the flesh. The next part in Haggai 1:6 there says, you drink, you're not filled with drink. Kind of, I already touched on it a little bit this already. Just never satisfied. Never satisfied. Why is that? It goes back to the flesh. You clothe you, but there is none warm. Okay, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 3. You clothe and you're not warm. You ever had on a cold winter day, after a while, it's like you just can't put on enough clothes. You get a fever or something. You can be sleeping in thermal everything under 4 blankets and you're just shivering, you're just freezing. That's kind of a picture of what's going on here. No matter what I do, no matter how much I try to do, how much I clothe, I'm still cold, right? This says there's none warm. There's none warm. Why? I wonder if we're chasing the wrong kind of clothing. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Again, there's a dissatisfaction. There's a discomfort that's happening here. He's cold. The person's cold. 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. just over a little bit in 3:18. And I counsel thee to buy of gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eye with eye salve. So that clothing there, that white raiment, is a type of righteousness. I wonder, in Christianity today, in your own lives, my own life, are we seeking after that righteousness? Are we seeking after the righteousness like we do? And then we wonder why we're frustrated. We wonder why we get discouraged. Are we seeking God's righteousness? Or are we seeking to fulfill the lust of the flesh? What kind of raiment are we trying to put on? Turn over, I just read it for here, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. The Lord's preaching here. He says, Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Well, there's a whole lot, there's a whole message in those verses. But what he says is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You worry as individuals. First of all, if you're in here this morning, you don't know Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's of utmost importance, is to accept him so you can have the righteousness of his Son. Beyond that, once you are, most people here probably have done that already, some many years ago, is that, are you seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Are we actively seeking after the righteousness of God? Are we actively seeking on a daily basis by considering our ways in line with this book that we have the righteousness, that we have the righteousness of God, that we try to be pleasing to him? He says, you worry about that first. I'll take care of the rest. And that's basically what that verse says, is take no thought for the morrow shall take care of itself. But, you know, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And again, what this, all the powers that be, aside from God, want you not consider those things, not think about these things. But thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What else is it saying, Haggai, there? It says, he that earneth wages, middle of the verse, earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. The frustrations of money. There's more days left at the end of the month than there is money in the checkbook, right? Proverbs 11:28 says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Well, that might not apply to most everybody in here, but how about this one? For riches certainly make themselves as wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. That applies. Yeah. It's like a big old eagle just off over the horizon. There it goes, right? But here's the thing. You put it in the money, you think about things. Okay, why is that? Why is it that sometimes, I know there's circumstances you can't help, there's car repairs and all sorts of things, that a lot of times, why is it when something comes up, you know, it's not here, it's everywhere, you know, one of the primary things that people say, well, you consider going on a mission trip, it's either time or money. Time or money. A lot of times it's money. And why is that? Sometimes it is for valid reasons, but sometimes it's not. I mean, if you put away $5 a week, sooner or later you can go on a mission trip. I mean, you can part with 80 cents a day, I believe. Those are sorts of things. But here, you put in a bag with holes and nothing's coming to anything. Why is that? And it's Old Testament precept that we follow today about tithing and that 10%, 10% of your money goes into, give it back to God. But wait a minute. Who gave you the other 90? Who gave you that 90%? So you need to view it. I need to view it like it's all God's money. Okay, 10%, I have no say in what it goes. Once it hits that plate, it's up. That's it. It's gone. It's the Lord's money. And wherever it goes, it's up to the Lord to decide what he does with it. But do you give any thought for the other 90%? You really think and consider that? I think a lot of people don't consider that because it goes back to fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Sometimes I wonder if American Christianity, if on the top of their Visa card, they took a little Sharpie and wrote the part of the verse that says, he hath given us all things richly to enjoy. And then when that card's maxed out, they grab another one. He hath given us all things richly to enjoy. Seriously. Are you fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Or are you just making provision? There's a big difference. There's a huge difference. And so why is it, why do I have problems? Why do I have problems with that? Well, maybe you're putting the money into the wrong bag. Maybe that might be part of it. Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, right? In Romans 12, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, what about the finances? Do you really think and pray about where the money's going? I know some of it you don't have, the only thing you don't have control over really is taxes. And even that, you can pray about it. You can do some constructive things with different, get an accountant involved and all that stuff. But do you pray about it? Do you think about it? Are you a good steward with it? How about the time? Are you a good steward with the time? You see, those are all things. It says that you put your money in a bag with holes. With holes. Are you putting it into the wrong bag? If I was to say to you, starting next month, your income's going to double, would that make a difference in your life? What kind of difference would it make? What's the first thing that comes to mind? How would you spend that? And now if the first thing that comes to mind is some fulfilling more of the lust of the flesh, then why would he ever increase you? Because you haven't had got a handle on handling what you have now. Something, things to consider. The Bible says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. And say, how do we do that? It's through prayer, by staying in his book. And so the Bible says, make not provisions for flesh. I wonder, first time, it really struck me. I'm sure I told the story before. First time I went to Russia in 99, we were sitting there, and we had been on the street already a couple of days handing out New Testaments with statues of Stalin still up, and buses are stopping in traffic, and Brother Hazard and I are giving them to the bus driver, and the bus driver goes like this and gives them to everybody in the bus. And I get back that day, I'm just, kind of overwhelmed with all this. I'm thinking, this is communist Russia, and we're sitting here giving out a million New Testaments. The people have never held a Bible before. And they grab the Bible, someone would kiss it and say, Slava Bogu, and probably pronounce it wrong. It means praise God, and it's supposed to mean praise God in Russian. And I get back, and Brother Sturz and Larry are talking, and I says, yeah, man, it's just amazing. He goes, yeah, we had to stop printing of Bibles a few times because you ran out of funds. Think, what? The richest country in the world. And you don't have money to print New Testaments at 70 cents a piece? Same thing in Papua New Guinea. Open Door. They got King James Bibles in every high school and secondary school in the country. Come on, guys, come on over. All the schools are open. Let's know what time. We'll have them down there, preach to them for 30 minutes, give them all a Bible. Waiting for funds. I wonder if you were to go through the homes of American Bible-believing Christians throughout this country, and if God were to take a walk through, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a lot of this stuff. That's why you have to consider your ways in light of this book. But if the Lord were to walk through my house or your house or the houses of any Bible-believing Christian in this country, I wonder how many little toys or gadgets would be in our homes that would say Bibles for Papua New Guinea. How many would say Russian Bibles? How many would say the souls of men? That's hard. No, it's not hard. That's the truth. That's the truth. And so, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? Where does it become where, yes, he has given us all things richly to enjoy, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying some things, and that where's the balance? Where's the balance in it all? I'm not saying you live in, a burlap sack and eat beans and rice the rest of your life. That's not what it's about. But it's up to you as an individual, and you as walking with the Lord, and you as particularly fathers, set an example for your kids and the rest of your family. And what will you do with these things? What will you do with your finances? What will you do with all these different aspects? Where are you going to sow your seed? How do you know? You know it by getting in this book, which I mentioned about 4 or 5 times already. You get it by sitting in here when the doors are open. You get in here, you understand by trying to get close to the Lord and understand what His will is for your life. But let's turn over to Romans chapter 2. Man, I'm messing up. Romans chapter 12, I'm sorry. How do we consider our own ways? See, the problem is that, the world says, well, just follow your heart. And Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you can't trust your heart. You can't trust your own desires. But here, let's look at this. Romans chapter 12, wherefore, verse 1, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily doth easily beset us. Let's run with patience the race as set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners among himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You know what we need to do? And Brother Pizzo mentioned that on Sunday night, and I already had this kind of going already. But we need to consider him. We need to just think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what it says in verse 1 there? It says, let us lay aside every weight. I don't know how many of you are runners. You may have guessed it. I'm not. Never really was. I jogged a little bit a few times on necessity. But yes. But if you were a runner and are a runner, I mean, is it a wonderful thing to put a couple 5-pound leg weights around your leg and then try running a marathon or a 5K? But the Bible says here, lay aside every weight in the sin which so easily beset us. You know, I wonder the reason God wants us to consider our ways is that everybody has a different weight in here. And the sin that so easily beset us. What is that? That's between you and God. I threw some things out there that was just like, that's you have to figure that out. What's holding you back? What's holding me back from running that race? What is that weight? Sometimes you kind of like to keep that weight. Sometimes you enjoy that weight. Bible says set it aside. And the sin which so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. We already talked about that, about the Christian life being one of patience. The race that is set before us. Whose race is it? It's personal. It's your race and your race and your race. Everyone has their own personal race to run. But it's up to you to seek that out. It's up to you to run it with patience. And everyone's different. Everyone's different. Some are longer, some are shorter, some are different. All the races are different. But God wants you to run that race. He wants you to run it with patience. He wants you to set aside the weight. He wants you to the sin, which does easily beset us. So you have to examine yourself. Bible says, let's look at verse 3 here. For consider him, I'm sorry, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's think about just that first part of the verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you think about how throughout when a child is young, and you know, here's a little Father's Day work in here. But a little child is young, I mean, father, dad's everything to him. And they look up to dad, and they sometimes is idolized and all that sort of thing. And that's all good, and that's a good thing. It's a natural thing. Then they get older and they realize some faults, maybe some sins, some inconsistencies. Sometimes they might have some bitterness at their earthly father. And all of a sudden that bitterness kind of transforms itself over to a bitterness against a heavenly father. And you know what that is a lot of times? A lot of times in a young person, or I've seen in 50-year-old people as well, is that bitterness grows into just an excuse to rebel. And here's the thing. You put all that aside. You put all that aside. For it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Now there's a heavenly father, a risen Savior, who sits at the right hand of God, ever make intercession for us. Here's one you can look to, a heavenly Father, and consider him, and look unto him. It says the Pilate, here's a lost man, a Roman ruler, says, I find no fault in this man. He's hanging on the cross after living 30 years in sinless perfection, nailed to the cross, bleeding and dying for your sins and mine, and people cursing him. And he has the power to get off that cross. He has the power to start this whole thing over again. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you follow that, Father? Maybe the earthly Father wasn't much. Can you follow the heavenly Father? Can you look to him? Can you consider your ways in light of his ways? Can you do that? Can you put aside that weight? Can you put aside the excuses? Can you put aside that rebellion? We have a Father that's worth serving. John 15:11, he says, these things have I spoken to you, that your joy may be full. Your earthly Father most likely tried to provide for you and comfort you, but our Heavenly Father, he gives us joy that we might be full. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says in Matthew, it says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Can you follow that one? Can you line up your ways with his ways? Can you do it for that kind of a man? Let's turn over to John chapter 14. See, we're selfish individuals, people. And we want our ways to be our ways, like a little child in nursery. That's not God's intentions. God is a loving Father. And John 14 and 15, these chapters are amazing. Lord Jesus Christ tells the disciples, and he tells you through his word, all of us in his room, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Really? He's going to prepare a place? It's not enough that he died a horrible death on the cross to pay for my sins? But he's going to prepare a place for me? Can we follow somebody like that? Can we compare our ways with his ways? Verse 16 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And verse 18, "For I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." What a blessing. We have a heavenly Father that not only preserved his words perfect, not to be this whole book of do's and don'ts, but if you follow this, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And he gave us that. He will not leave you comfortless. He did that. He sent the Comforter for us. Turn over to chapter 15, verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The Bible says, consider your ways. Will you consider it in light of that kind of a Savior? See, that's the whole thing. If I would have stopped 10 minutes ago, it would have been frustrating, because you think, how do I sort all these things out? How do I know where the balance is? Where do I know that what to do with these things? What do I have to match it against? See, the key is to consider him. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ and draw closer to him and try to make your ways like his ways. And see, you start doing that, and if we start doing that, these other things will get answered on their own. He'll give you the desires of your heart if you align your desires with his desires. And that's the whole key to the whole thing, is consider him. And it was a good point what he made there tonight, and that verse always has struck me. Back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your mind. You know the very first few verses I read in Haggai? That's wearisome. Because you try and you try and try, and it seems like you fail. And the Bible says, don't faint. He says, for consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. And what he wants us to do is not faint in our minds, to go on for him and help our ways to be more like his ways. And that's the issue that we run into in our lives, is that we don't consider our ways. We don't think about where we've been sometimes. We don't consider where we're going. And what are you going to do? You know, I'm not a big goal setter and all that sort of thing, but where would you like to be in a few years? Hopefully closer to the Lord, hopefully serving him better. What, do you have any ambition besides fulfilling the lust of the flesh? How's that been working out for you so far? How's that been? You know, I can think of innumerable people it hasn't worked out so good for. And have you considered your ways? The Bible commands us there a couple times in one verse. Have you consider your ways? And maybe the one thing to think about most importantly, I already touched on this morning, is that have you considered the Lord Jesus Christ? He came, all these things, most of what I talked about this morning, preached on, is If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, it's irrelevant. Because you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And no matter how hard you try, it's like that bag with holes in it, you're not getting anywhere. And the question I ask you, do you have peace? Like I said before, how is it working out for you? Go to a nursing home or something like that. Ma'am, or sir, you know for certain where you go when you die? Oh, I don't know. Heaven, I hope. It shows you how the devil's blinded them. Heaven, I hope. Wouldn't you want to know for sure? You don't do anything in the business world that way. You don't go down and buy a used car, a new car, and say, how much do I owe you? And he says, $327 a month. For how long? Oh, don't worry about it. Just keep paying $327 a month. It'll be paid off sometime, I hope. You'd be an idiot. Nobody does that. But why is it with an eternal soul, you're ready to gamble in eternity in a lake of fire? Well, I hope so. I think I've been good. Well, I was born this. I'm trying real hard. I didn't ask you that. I asked you, do you know for certain where you're going when you die? As simple as that. Do you know? It's not a matter of what the science says out there about a Baptist church. It's a matter of a relationship in Jesus Christ. Last week old Saturday, my daughter got married. And there came a time, a while previous to that, where Ian went to Rachel, and he had all the intentions of the world of wanting to marry her. And he went with a ring. He said, Rachel, would you marry me? She said, yes. That's why they were here. But she said, yes. You see, Jesus Christ went to that cross of Calvary, as already talked about. He says, will you accept me? And just as sure as those two stood here a week ago Saturday, they reunited as husband and wife, or walked out there as Mr. and Mrs. Ian Pizzo. I still can't get used to that. Just as sure as that is that transaction had to take place. She had to say yes. Or nobody would have been here last Saturday. And if you ever want to see the glories of heaven, if you ever want to escape the fires of hell, you got to say yes to Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. That's how simple it is. She said yes. And they're married. You say yes to Jesus Christ, and you'll be in heaven. I know it has to be in your heart. I understand that. But you get what I'm saying. You repent of your sins and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It's that simple. So what are you waiting for? I read you a whole bunch of verses that are bragged on Jesus Christ. What kind of a heavenly Father He is. And all He's done for you. You got something better? I don't hear Muhammad doing anything for you. I don't hear Buddha doing anything for you. How's it working out, Mr. Atheist? Is it doing good for you? Got a lot of peace and joy? Got a lot of happiness in your heart? Name any religion. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know you have eternal life. It's that simple. So, will you make that decision today? And for the majority of the people here today, the Christians, will you examine yourself? Will you see honest in your heart? It's totally between you and God. It's up to you. I challenge you. Would you consider, even in your mind, looking around at your life and seeing, is this the lust of the flesh, or is this for the provision of it? That's up to you to figure out. And you have to have peace on it. But far more importantly than that, someday you'll have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account there. I'd rather do something a little more on this side so I don't have a giant inferno going off in the distance with all the things I've done in this life, as it's all burnt by fire. Let's pray. Heavenly